All right, good morning. How are we doing? Decent. All right, if you have not met me, my name is Jermaine Harrison, and I get the privilege of serving on our high school staff team, and I also get to lead a sixth grade small group here with WIC. Yeah, there they are. There we go. All right, so this week we are continuing our series called You've Got a Friend in Me. You've got a friend in me. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, you've heard a couple amazing messages from my friends Harrison and Gio as they've talked about different aspects of friendship in junior high life. And so today, specifically, I'd love to talk to you guys about the idea of peer pressure. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, peer pressure. And to do that, to start us off, I'd just like to show you a couple of things that have to do with peer pressure. All right, does anyone know what these are? Yes, they're shoes, clearly. What kind of shoes are they? Air Force Ones. So when I was your age, a song came out that highly encouraged me to get not one, but two pairs of this shoe. All right, so that's one example. Some of you know what that is, some of you don't. That was more for the leaders, so you can, you know, track with me. All right. What about these pair of shoes? What kind are they? Sperry's boat shoes. How many guys in here own boat shoes? Let me see your hand. There you go. Lots of you own them. Last time I wore these was 2 years ago because they're like all ripped up and I just don't like boat shoes anymore. So they're those. How about girls? How about these? What are these? How many girls own a pair of UGG boots? There you go. Every girl pretty much in the room own a pair of these good guys or girls, whatever you call them. All right, how about these? These are not mine, but Crocs. Who owns a pair of Crocs? There you go. Hands going up all around the room. There you go. All right, last pair. These are actually mine. Nice. Chacos. Who owns a pair of Chacos? There we go. Everyone. I love it. And so the reason I start there is that all of those shoes for me or for you have one thing in common. No, other than the fact that they're shoes. I don't know why we're on that. They're shoes that you probably own because of peer pressure. Either you saw someone wearing them and you went, I've got to have those pink Crocs, or I've got to have those UGG boots so I can wear them with my leggings and long sleeve t-shirt and look like every other girl in Dallas. Or I've got to have Chacos because what else do you wear during the summer when your toes need to be out in the open air, right? Or flip-flops, but everyone owns Chacos. And so the point is this. Hey, there's so much that we do, or so much that we buy, or so much that we live our lives, the way that we live our lives, that has so much to do with the way we're influenced by our peers, right? And so I want to start off with a definition of peer pressure, and then we'll go into the message. So peer pressure, this is from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which you're probably familiar with. It says this, peer pressure is a feeling that one must do the same things as other people of one's age and social group. So for you guys, other junior hires, you can take a picture of this. You can write it down in your notes. It's awesome. So a feeling that one must do the same things as other people of one's age and social group in order to what? To be liked or respected by them. And so like I said, if you've ever done something or bought something or said something or had a specific attitude because you saw someone else do it or heard them say it, you have given in to peer pressure. And on a daily basis, we do experience peer pressure, right? And here's the reality. We either influence our friends for good, or we are influenced by our friends for good or bad, right? That makes sense. And the bad news is that often in junior high, we are influenced by our friends in a negative way, or we influence our friends, to not honor the Lord. But the good news is that it does not have to be that way. And so that's why today I am going to talk to you about how we should handle negative peer pressure, because peer pressure can be good in some senses. For example, Gracie and Sarah and Vincent, who quoted Psalm 1 today, hopefully some of you heard them quote it and said to yourself, man, I need to memorize God's word. I need to hide it in my heart. That's peer pressure in some sort of sense, right? So we're going to talk about today how we should handle not good peer pressure, but negative peer pressure and be faithful friends that influence our friends to honor God. And so if you have a Bible or if you have a phone, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel that we've been in for the past couple weeks. But we will be in 1 Samuel chapter 8. So turn in with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And what we'll look at in this chapter are some little known facts about peer pressure that I hope will teach us how to deal with peer pressure and influence others to honor the Lord. And so over the last couple of weeks, like I said, you've heard a lot about being a good friend, what a good friend looks like, or what to look for in a friend. And today, I want to take us back before the story of David and Jonathan that you've heard about the last couple of weeks. I want to take us back and give us kind of the backstory of their friendship and give you an idea of what it looks like to honor the Lord and to be wise in the way that we are influenced or influence our friends. It's kind of like for the last 2 weeks, Harrison and Gio have been talking to you guys about Star Wars episodes 4, 5, and 6. And today, I'm taking you back before that happened and talk about episodes 1, 2, and 3 and Rogue One. There you go. Sweet. So we are in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Let me set the stage for you. Israel has just taken a conquest of the land that God had promised to them, and they had lived for centuries, probably 400 or 500 years under the rulership of people that we call judges. And so Israel would be wicked and disobey the Lord, and the Lord would judge them by bringing some other nation to come and bring them under bondage or slavery, and then they would cry out to the Lord, Lord, we need help. And then the Lord would raise up a judge, and he would give them this judge that would deliver them from this nation that was taking them into slavery, right? And this happened over and over again. It's called the Book of Judges. You should read your Bible. There's so many good stories in there. And then after that, we come to where we are right now in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Samuel is kind of like the last judge, and he's also a prophet, right? And so here we come to 1 Samuel chapter 8. And what we'll see, first of all, is that usually this first point of the morning, the first fact, first little known fact about peer pressure is this. Usually, peer pressure is what friends tell you to do with their actions. Usually, peer pressure is what friends tell you to do with their actions. So 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, it's an awesome story. You should read the whole story when you go home today, but I'm going to break it up in little chunks. And I'm also going to share an example of when I was a freshman in high school and how I gave into peer pressure as we go through the message, right? And it's not me celebrating this story. In fact, I hope that it's an example to you of a way that I gave into peer pressure that was not helpful and that was not influential to my friends to honor God. And I hope that as you hear my example, you think of ways that maybe you are giving into peer pressure, or maybe you are influencing your friends to not honor the Lord. All right? So the first point is this. Usually peer pressure is what friends tell you to do with their actions. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 1 to 5. It says this. As Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons to be judges over Israel. Joel and Abijah, his oldest sons, held court in Beersheba. But they were not like their father, for they were greedy for money. They accepted bribes, and they perverted justice. Finally, all the elders of Israel met at Ramah to discuss the matter with Samuel. Look, they told him, you are now old, and your sons are not like you. And notice what they say next. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. You see what they said? Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. The nation of Israel heard loud and clear somehow in their minds. It wasn't like the other nations were sitting around and saying, hey, you guys have got to get a king. They saw that this was the social norm, that everyone else was doing it. And so they said, hey, we want to do it too. We want to have a king just like all those other nations have. I like picture like a round table meeting and, you know, the elders of all the different nations are like, hey, like our king is awesome. He leads us into battle and he's really strong and he's given us some great laws. And the Israelite leaders are like, well, our king, he's invisible, can't really see him. And he lives in heaven, in the sky. And I can just imagine all the other nations' leaders just laughing at them, right? You kind of have that picture in your mind. And so they're like, no, we want to be like everyone else. So usually peer pressure is what friends tell you to do with their actions. So about that story, it's a story of how I got suspended in my freshman year of high school. Like I said, I'm not proud of this story at all, but I think it illustrates peer pressure. So this is a picture of me and... let me make sure I tell you who they are. On the far left, this is MacArthur Graves. That's one of my best friends. And right next to him is Kevin Lawrence. And then the girl in the picture is Lakeisha Dawe. The boy on the far right is Neil Esdale. And down low on the left is Dennison Peters. And then me throwing up the gang signs. What am I doing? That's me on the far right kneeling down. And so this story involves everyone in that picture and a couple more people. The guy on the far left, MacArthur, his family was moving away to a completely different island or country. I don't even remember. And we wanted to have a party for him at school as freshmen that included us bringing alcohol to school and drinking it. And so we came up with this great plan. We had all the snacks and all the food, and we were hiding like in the back area of the cafeteria. And we were eating food, eating sandwiches, and they were drinking alcohol. And in that very moment, I felt that peer pressure, right? Hey, everyone else is drinking. Everyone else is doing it. Why shouldn't I do it as well? They never said, hey, you should have a drink. What's wrong with you? I just looked at what they were doing, and I was pressured to want to do it as well. I'll keep telling you this story as we go along. But that's the first point. Second point is this. Anyone that gives in to peer pressure usually has a great excuse for why they did, right? Anyone that gives in to peer pressure usually has a great excuse for why they gave in to that, you know, negative peer pressure. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 5, we read this. Look at their clever excuse, right? They said, look, you are now old and your sons are not like you. Give us a king to judge us like all the other nations have. And so their reason for wanting a king that they presented to Samuel was, hey, your sons aren't following the Lord, so we don't want them to lead us, so give us a king instead, right? And that sounds noble. That sounds like it makes sense. Like, yeah, why would you want leaders that aren't following the Lord? But you know, at the heart of it, what they really wanted was what? To be just like everyone else. So have you ever done that? Have you ever said, man, maybe I should cuss with my friends because that's what everyone else is doing. I don't want them to think I'm weird. I want them to think I'm normal, so maybe I can invite them to small group or invite them to wake, right? Maybe. And so you cover up what you really want to do, which is to fit in with your friends with a noble reason. Oh, yeah, I'll get to invite them to wake, or I'll get to invite them to whatever because they'll think I'm normal because I'm just like them, right? Anyone that gives into peer pressure usually has a great excuse for why they did. And so in that moment when I saw all of my friends drinking, guess what I thought? I came up with a good reason. I was like, you know what? I'll never see my friend MacArthur again, and this is our last celebration. So I'm going to celebrate him as best as I can. So I'm going to drink with everyone else. And so that was my great excuse that I came up with for giving in to peer pressure. But here's the third point. Giving in to unhealthy peer pressure like I did, or like some of you have done, is a decision to reject God. Ultimately, above everything else, giving in to peer pressure is a decision to reject God. So as the story continues, look with me again in 1 Samuel chapter 8 at verses 7 and 8. So after they told Samuel, we want a new king, we want a king, we want to be just like everyone else, we don't want to have your sons leading us. This is what happens. Verse 6, Samuel was displeased with the request and went to the Lord for guidance. Do everything they say to you, the Lord replied. Watch this. For they are rejecting me, not you. They don't want me to be their king any longer. Man, that's a sad thing to be said about, you know, the nation of Israel or any of us. And so here's the truth. Something else was more important to the nation of Israel than their relationship with the Lord, right? They were like, hey, God is our king, but we don't want him. We want to have an actual person. We want to be just like everybody else. And God's response to that is, hey, when you reject me, when you choose to give in to peer pressure, what you were really doing is choosing to reject me. Because guess what? You're trading in God for something else, right? So for example, in my story, I knew I shouldn't drink because I was a teenager. I knew I shouldn't drink because I had it on school premises. There are so many reasons why I should not have done it, but I still chose to do it. I chose in that moment to trade God in because what? Because I wanted to feel accepted, because I wanted to feel a part of the group. I wanted to belong. I wanted to feel like I was known and loved. And in that, I traded my relationship with the Lord in, right? I rejected God and chose my friends. But here's the reality, our fourth point of the morning is this, is that when you give in to unhealthy peer pressure, there's always, 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 always consequences. Giving in to unhealthy peer pressure always has consequences. And so if you were to read the entire chapter, I'm going to skip a good chunk of it, you will hear Samuel pleading with the nation of Israel, and he's like, guys, I'm telling you, this is not what you want to do. This guy's not going to be a good dude. I promise you want to keep God as your king. And then at the end of it, here's what Samuel says in verses 17 and 18. He's continuing to warn them that they shouldn't want this king, right? And he says, he will demand a tenth of your flocks, and you will be his slaves. When that day comes, you will beg for relief from this king you are demanding, but then the Lord will not help you. But then the Lord will not help you. And so here's the reality. They wanted something. They wanted to give into something. They wanted to trade God in, trade in their relationship with him for feeling accepted and feeling like they belonged, feeling like they were like everyone else, just like most of us in this room have those feelings, right? But the thing is that when we give into peer pressure, there's always consequences. And they were warned about those consequences. And I want to remind you, that I don't want you to believe the lie that your actions don't have consequences. Don't buy that lie, that actions don't have consequences. Whatever you're doing right now to fit in with your friends, whether it's having a certain attitude or whether it's being disrespectful to your parents because you hear your friends talk about how they do it to their mom or to their dad, or whether you want to buy something, or whether you're begging your parents, please can I have an iPhone, or please can I get this social media, or fill in the blank, can I get this outfit, can I wear this outfit like the other girls wear it, can I do this, can I say that, can I act this way, whatever it is that you are feeling pressure to give into that peer pressure, if it's not honoring to the Lord and you choose to reject God, the truth is that you will experience consequences. Just ask your leaders. I'm sure they have tons of stories from their own lives. And so for us, we were in the back of the cafeteria drinking and hanging out, and someone told on us. And the security guard came and he took down all of our names and he took us to the office, and the principal scolded us, obviously, and he called our parents And he told my mom, which was the most frightening thing out of the whole situation, because I knew my mom would kill me. But then we got suspended from school for 3 days for drinking on campus. But obviously, even more so than that, I knew that my mom was about to ground me for a year or something. I knew some sort of punishment, some sort of consequences were coming down the line. And I was grounded. I forget how long I got grounded for. But anyways. And so I want to leave you with one final point, and it's this, the fifth point of the morning. At the heart of giving in to peer pressure, I've alluded to it a couple of times. At the heart of giving in to peer pressure is the desire to be accepted. At the heart of giving in to peer pressure is the desire to be accepted. One more time in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 19 through 20. So after Samuel gave them all of these warnings, hey, you don't want this king. Hey, you don't want to give in to this peer pressure. Here's what he says. Here's what the people say. But the people refused to listen to Samuel's warning. Even so, we still want a king, they said. We want to be like the nations around us. Our king will judge us and lead us into battle. And so they did not care about the consequences as much as they knew what they were going to be. Right? And so the reason you cuss, or the reason you argue with your parents, or the reason you want that phone, or that social media, or the reason you act a certain way, or have that attitude, is because deep down, you want to feel accepted by your friends. You want to feel a part of the group. But here's the last thing I want to leave you with. You don't need to find acceptance in your peers, whether they're sitting in this room or sitting in a classroom. You don't need to find acceptance in them because God has already shown and expressed how much he loves and accepts you. He sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life and to die a perfect death, not just for some random people, but for you, you sixth grader, you seventh grader, you eighth grader. God, the loving father of the universe, loves and appreciates and accepts you. And that should matter most. And if that matters most to you, this sentence or this idea will be true about you. You'll be free from the desire to give in to unhealthy peer pressure, right? Because you know that you've been accepted by God, and so you don't have to do or say anything that's unhealthy or sinful to be accepted by your friends. And so someone who understands that we are truly accepted by God does this. This is the kind of friend that they are. A faithful friend does not find acceptance in giving in to peer pressure. Our acceptance is found in Christ, is found in what Christ has done for us. Because of Christ, we are free to influence our friends to honor God. Junior hires, I'm telling you. I wish I knew this. I wish I heard this when I was being an idiot in my freshman year of high school. So don't just let this pass through one ear and go out the other like, oh yeah, another good message at Wake. I really, really want you to hear this. You do not have to give in to unhealthy and negative peer pressure. You've been accepted by the God of the universe, and that frees you from peer pressure. You're accepted by him. You can live your life to honor him. You can live your life to influence others for God's glory. Let me pray that every single one of you would be faithful friends that reject negative peer pressure, choose to trust that your acceptance is found in God, and live your lives to honor him and influence others. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Samuel and the nation of Israel and how their example is a warning to us. That, Lord, we don't have to give in to what the crowd around us says. We don't have to give in to what everyone else is doing because we've already been accepted by you, which is proven by your son Jesus coming and dying and raising again on the third day. I pray that every single student, every single leader in here would take that message to heart and trust you and live to influence others for your glory. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.